I'm Dr. Adam Rutherford.
And I'm Dr. Hannah Fry.
And you are going to send us your everyday mysteries.
And we are going to investigate them.
Using the power of...
Science!
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 I like it.
It's episode 2 of The Curious Case of Rutherford and Fry with him...
And her. Fry.
That's all we need to say.
I know. And today's question is... super awesome. Can't even remember what
it's
about.
I mean, they all are. They all are, let's be honest. But this one is about the Earth's magnetic field.
Oh, yeah. We had three questioners asking about this question about what would happen if the magnetic poles of the Earth were reversed.
And it's actually quite a fun answer. It's quite a fun answer. I like these questions. I like the questions that are about... you're shaking your head. You just like the biology ones.
Yes. Yes, I do like the biology ones.
I like the non-biology ones.
Well, that's silly of you because the biology ones are the best ones.
The cake wasn't biology.
Eating cake is biology.
Barely. I like the non-biology ones. Shooting rubbish into space, the concept of zero.
Yeah, but if you remember where we actually started with hairy backs and hairy humans and ginger hair.
Helium balloons.
Yeah. Is this a request?
Do you just like the hair ones?
It's been quite a lot of hair-based ones, actually. But lots of, you know, people are interested in people, right?
They are interested in people.
Behaviours, what about giraffes? You know, all of the key elements that people are mostly focused on are the behaviour of giraffes and people.
Yeah, but I think it's good when you can represent the whole of science.
Well, you know, we do like to cover all of this great endeavour that we call science and maths and a bit of engineering thrown in there. But we did, you know, last week we did a bit of chemistry.
That's
with
true.
Cake making.
That's true.
Is this... we can't solicit questions because that would be against BBC policy, but...
We did solicit cake.
If you wanted to maybe... I think Hannah's asking for some non-biology related questions here.
I just think it's nice to get a variety.
Yes. We haven't had a giraffe-based question for a long time.
Anyway, on with the show. We are poles apart today on Curious Cases.
Yes, the following topic was brought to our attention by three listeners, one of whom was John Turk, who sent us in this question to curiouscases@bbc.co.uk.
What would happen if the polarity of the Earth reversed?
I know this one. North becomes South. I've seen these movies. The world turns upside down. Only those skilled in hand-to-hand combat will survive.
Hold on, Rambo. We're talking about magnetic poles here, not geographic ones.
Oh, boo. So no global disaster, no human sacrifice, no cats and dogs living together?
Well, maybe. But let's start from the beginning, shall we? The magnetic poles come from the Earth's liquid iron core. Because iron is magnetic, it acts like a gigantic bar magnet, pointing almost exactly north to south. But it's not fixed. If you dig down into sedimentary rock, you can see that this magnetic field has flipped around something like 170 times in the last 75 million years.
Huh. So if I looked at a compass in the time of the dinosaurs, it would point in an entirely different direction. But why do they flip? I asked geophysicist Phil Livermore.
No one really knows why the poles flip. The magnetic field is normally quite stable with a north and a south pole. But every so often, there is some kind of storm in the Earth's core which knocks the stability in such a way that the magnetic field decides to flip.
When you say things like flip, what sort of timescales are we talking about? A flip is... that's not like flipping a coin, is it?
No. So when I say flip... what I mean is that the North and the South Poles interchange places, which takes about 1,000, maybe 10,000 years.
There you go, then. No need to panic just yet.
Yeah, well, I'm still going to stock up on tinned food and bottled water, just very slowly.
OK, you do that. So, when is the next reversal going to happen? The last complete pole swap was the so-called Brunus-Matayuma event around 780,000 years ago. Then, around 41,000 years ago, during the last ice age, there was a temporary reversal known as the Lachamp event. But it was just a blip and the poles flipped back 250 years later.
OK, so, Hannah, when is the next one going to happen?
Don't know.
No, you don't, do you? It turns out it's quite tricky to predict.
I think everyone is familiar with how difficult it is to predict the weather. So after maybe 5 days, the weather forecasts are extremely challenging to make. Now, we all live in the atmosphere and we take real-time measurements. Now imagine having to look through 3,000 kilometres of solid rock. We have very, very few measurements of the Earth's core. And a lot of our understanding is based on numerical simulations. And so this is one of the main reasons why it's very difficult to predict whether or not a geomagnetic reversal is imminent, because we simply don't properly understand what's going on inside the Earth.
What's your best guess on when it's due? Do we have any clues?
What we do know is the magnetic field is actually weakening at the moment, about 5% per century. So if you continue this into the future, then after 2,000 years, the magnetic field will reverse. The structure of the magnetic field during reversal will look very different. What we'll end up seeing is this much more complicated but weaker magnetic field. We could have north poles on the equator. We could have multiple north poles and multiple south poles.
And a compass that wouldn't know which way to point, and a bunch of terribly confused orienteering scouts.
And what about the inevitable apocalypse?
All in good time, Adam. So, one theory is that the Earth's magnetic field could just carry on getting weaker and a bit weirder looking until the magnetic poles properly flip and north becomes south.
Another possibility is that the weakening of the magnetic field, 5% a century, is just a wobble and it will start getting stronger again but stay put.
But our questioner John wants to know what would happen during a reversal. So I asked solar physicist Lucy Green, what has our magnetic field ever done for us?
The Earth's magnetic field is incredibly important because it acts as a barrier that protects us, ultimately, actually, from the sun's magnetic field. And the sun's magnetic field, it actually streams out into the solar system, carried by what we call the solar wind coming from the sun's atmosphere. And as it flows out, the sun's solar wind, magnetic field, flows over all of the objects in the solar system. And so it would reach down to the Earth, to the surface of the Earth, if it wasn't for our own magnetic field. So the Earth's magnetic field acts as a shield that protects us ultimately from radiation coming from the sun. And a lot of this radiation can be very high energy and therefore very damaging should it ever get down to the surface of the Earth.
Hold on, so basically our magnetic field is like a protective shield fighting deadly radiation hailing down from space.
You're very fixated on destroying the Earth today, Adam.
Right, well, if we're talking science fiction weirdness...
Which we weren't.
How about this? There's currently a glitch in the Earth's magnetic field, a few hundred kilometres above the planet, stretching from the southern half of Brazil across the Atlantic to the west coast of Africa. Some have called it the Bermuda Triangle of space. During his NASA career, astronaut Terry Virt spent over 7 months on the International Space Station, and it wasn't long before strange things began to happen when they passed over this mysterious region.
On my fifth night in space, I was going to bed at night, and I climbed in my sleeping bag, and it was Velcroed to the wall, and I closed my eyes, and boom! This gigantic white blinding flash happened in my eyes, and I immediately said, that's it. That's the South Atlantic anomaly. That's radiation.
Because the Earth's magnetic field is weaker here, tiny particles of solar radiation manage to seep down further than normal and into the orbital path of the ISS. Astronauts like Terry report seeing flashes when their eyes are closed. And one possible explanation is that this is caused by radiation from space triggering neurons to fire. But that's not the only bizarre effect.
So when we fly over the South Atlantic anomaly, one of the things that happens besides our bodies being affected is computers get affected. And we have an acronym for everything at NASA. So these are SEUs, single event upsets. And it just means your computer hiccups. And it happens fairly often, you know, a couple times a week, a computer will crash or restart for some unknown reason. A lot of times that's because of the radiation that we experience, and especially over that region, the South Atlantic anomaly.
You know, I have many single event upsets where my laptop crashes.
Don't we all? But we can't all blame space radiation.
This is true. Now, Lucy Green told me how this strange glitch is a real problem for scientists.
I learned about it early on in my career as a space scientist because I distinctly remember working with these spacecraft, and once in orbit, they would pass through this glitch and our spacecraft would get bombarded by these high energy particles that have found their way lower down. Then when I was doing spacecraft operations, I would know not to take observations of the sun during the times the spacecraft was going through the South Atlantic anomaly, because when the particles hit the spacecraft and hit our detectors, they get this sort of snowstorm effect on them. So it ruins our data.
Is it like when you're trying to tune an old-fashioned TV?
Yeah, it's like a sort of visual version of that noise. It's just like, and so you can't clearly make out the pictures of the sun at that time.
I'm telling you, it's the Bermuda Triangle of space.
Okay, Adam, if you want to call it that, you can. But what has all of this got to do with Earth's magnetic field reversal?
Well, this region, the Bermuda Triangle of space, might give us a clue about what could happen across the Earth during a full pole reversal.
Like a sort of test zone for the future.
Right, so I asked geophysicist Phil Livermore, what can we expect down on the ground when our poles begin to flip?
The effects are likely to be both for our electronic infrastructure, for example, power grids, pipelines, train networks, but also for satellites as well. So satellites are susceptible to radiation from the sun, and if the magnetic field is weakened, then they'll get bombarded with more radiation.
So that is serious. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, Boy Scouts getting lost maybe, or the occasional migrating bird going in the wrong direction. But in terms of our communications networks, it is serious.
It could potentially be very serious, yes. These days, many people rely on satellites for communication and also positioning, GPS and so on. And if the satellites went down for any reason, that could potentially be catastrophic.
I was joking about migratory birds losing their way. Would it have any effect on nature at all?
Well, we don't really know, mainly because the last reversal occurred so long ago, a long time before modern humans came on the Earth. We do know that life itself survived magnetic reversals, so we're unlikely to all die out. In terms of migrating animals, the length of time that reversals are likely to take, of the order of 1,000 years or so, may be long enough for them to slowly adjust compared with a magnetic field that, say, reversed overnight.
Which presumably is not something that's likely to happen.
No, it's not.
Well, OK, that's vaguely reassuring.
Well, luckily we have around 2,000 years to get ready.
Nothing wrong with being prepared, right?
OK, fine. In the event of a global pole-swapping apocalypse, what should you do? Let's ask Lucy Green. In the worst-case scenario, if I want to build a pole-swap bunker in my garden, just to protect me, just in case, what kind of thing should I put in it?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I would say don't rely on your GPS for navigation. Get some good old-fashioned maps just in case the GPS spacecraft stop working or can't get the signals. And then actually, well, in a really extreme case, you could generate your own magnetic field around your bunker. So maybe you want to invest in some technology that could create a magnetic bubble of your own.
Just wind loads of copper around my bunker.
Yeah.
I think we've cracked it. So, Dr. Rutherford, when it comes to what will happen when the Earth's poles reverse, can we say case solved?
It's hard to know, Dr. Fry. The last partial reversal was 41,000 years ago, way before civilization and modern technology existed.
As the Earth's field weakens before a flip, solar radiation will reach down further from space.
And this could affect our satellites, our power networks, and our communication systems.
But don't fear, if current trends continue, it will be 2,000 years before reversal takes hold.
And the whole flipping process could take thousands of years to complete.
So, plenty of time to make a plan of action. Adam, what are you doing?
I'm just ordering 1,000 yards of copper wire and a truckload of baked beans. Be prepared. Now, we've said this before, we like the ones where we don't come up with a definitive answer, don't we?
Yes, because science is not about being, you know, a complete authority on everything. It's about investigation and it's about curiosity, and part of that is not knowing the answer.
That's exactly right. And this is one of those things that we just, I don't know, we don't, no one knows the answer to this, which is why geophysicists exists as a field. I remember I wrote about pole reversal a few years ago in relation to the Mayan apocalypse of 2012, which of course never happened, with exact similarity to all the other apocalypses that have never happened. And I came across the word heteroscedastic.
Oh, good word.
Yeah, I know. Right, I've got no memory of what it means other than that it's difficult to predict.
Oh, is that what that means?
I don't really know. No doubt one of the excellent pod listeners is going to write in and tell us what heteroscedastic means.
What would the hetero mean if it meant...
other. That's what hetero means.
What does skedastic mean?
No idea!
This is one of my favourite stories that you've ever told. I remember this word and I don't know really what it means.
Yeah. But it relates to pole reversal.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, I tried to slip it into the script, but weirdly it didn't make it past editorial control in the form of Michelle Martin, our producer.
I can't imagine that. Speaking of Michelle Martin, however, Michelle Martin has been doing her own little bit of sneaky underhand presenting.
Yes, it's true.
Because we had an astronaut on this show, as you all have heard.
Terry Vertz.
And Terry Vertz, exactly.
Who's written a fantastic book, photography book,
indeed,
called The View from Space, which is out in October.
He absolutely has. Now, Adam and I would both love to have spoken to a real-life astronaut. Would have given anything for it, really.
But weirdly, we didn't get that email.
No.
Saying,
strangely,
come in on Tuesday and talk to an astronaut.
No.
Did you get that one?
I didn't get that email.
No. But instead, Michelle spoke to Terry Vertz for hours, it seems.
Days, almost.
And well, obviously we couldn't use the whole thing.
Well, I'm glad they got on so well.
Yeah.
Spoke about lots of things, about being in space, what the experience was like, the kind of things that you see. And here, especially for you, the podcast listeners, is a little clip about viewing the aurora from space.
Obviously, the place where we can see the Earth's magnetic field kind of fighting with the sun's solar wind is at the poles, where we get the auroras. What do they look like from space?
So I love that term, the Earth's magnetic field fighting with the solar wind, because that's really what's happening. So from space, the northern lights look very different than the southern lights. The northern lights, from the space station's point of view, were always this thin band off in the distance. And the southern lights were kind of this much bigger cloud, much closer to the space station. And I saw that, and I knew that's what it was. But as I studied what was going on, the southern magnetic pole is much farther north than the north magnetic pole is south. So the north magnetic pole is like 85 degrees north. It's pretty far north. The southern magnetic pole is only about 70 degrees south. So the space station flies a lot closer to it. In fact, there was one night that I was flying, floating there, looking out the window, and this gigantic, massive green cloud was right in front of us, and we actually flew through this aurora. It was this surreal. It was like being in a Star Trek movie or something. It was amazing.
There's our lovely producer, Michelle, getting rather carried away talking with Terry Vertz, the astronaut who we didn't get to speak to.
No. You know what time it is now, though?
What time is it?
Announcement of the podcast name time. That's the official title.
You're amazing.
So, the contenders for the name that we're going to call you, our lovely podcast listeners, were the Curios.
The Curios.
The Giraffes. The Quidnuncs. And the Irregulars.
Yes.
And the winner was, drumroll please.
You are the Curios.
Hey! That was my favourite all along.
Hello, Curios.
It's just like nice and cheery.
For the next seven series. This
if
is the
we last that long.
Yeah, until we get fired. We will be calling you the Curios. Hello, the Curios.
Hello, Curios.
That is it for episode 2 of The Curious Cases of Rutherford and Fry. We'd like to thank the Curios.
We'll see you next episode.
This is the BBC. I have a
number in my head. I'm Tim Harford, the presenter of a programme called More or Less. And I have a confession. I've been tempted, lured, seduced into the soft embrace of numbers. Divide and multiply. All around us, politicians, charities, campaigners and corporations know that a sure way to pick up some publicity is to make up an interesting sounding statistic, even if it's nonsense. 2 times 2 is 22. 4 times 4 is 44. And on More or Less, that makes us sad, because we think numbers matter and the truth matters. So we have 2 jobs to do. Destroy dodgy data with the righteous fury of 10,000 flaming suns, while also celebrating the ways in which honest statistics help us make sense of the world all around us. Politics, business, health and life. We got numbers by the trillion, here and overseas. Hey, hey. So why not check us out? That's More or Less with me, Tim Harford, on Radio 4, the World Service, and available all year round as a podcast.